It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. God is good, friends. God is good. Thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath to each of you on this Sabbath day. This is actually the 1st of July. We're in a new month. Today will never come again in history. And so let's make the best of it. Let's talk to the Lord today. Let's commune with him. Let's work for him. Let's live for him. Let's be obedient to him. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We will be doing just that. So those of you who don't have a place where you are led to worship today, we are on Zoom with our church service, and we'll be posting that on Facebook as well as our WhatsApp list. May God bless you. It's time for our opening prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for all your love. We thank you for your kindness and grace. And I pray that you be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maria sends her love to everybody. It's time for our opening song. It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath, everyone. God be with you. It's time for us on this July 1st to worship the Lord together. We, after our Sabbath morning worship, we will have our Sabbath service on Zoom. If you'd like to join us, it will be posted on Facebook. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this beautiful day that you have given to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray for your love to be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, the title of this message is The True Meaning Behind Jacob's Ladder. The True Meaning Behind Jacob's Ladder. We're reading Genesis 28 as we are going through several topics in preparation for baptism. These are very important topics, topics that aren't usually covered. And that's why most people who get baptized, friends, are not converted. We need to know Jesus. We need to know who he is. And most people preaching today, even present truth, have a lack of really understanding the compassionate character of Christ. That's why they're so tough and hard and strict and whatever. Now, I believe in obedience, brothers and sisters. I believe in strict obedience to and thus said the Lord. But I am here to tell you that the law of kindness is lacking in God's people. The law of understanding how to treat people that you might not fully understand. God wants to help us grow and be like Jesus. All right, let's read Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob. Now, remember the context. After Jacob had lied and said he was Esau, but he was wanting that spiritual blessing. It wasn't so important to him that he get the temporal thing. That was what was important to Esau. Even though Jacob was blessed with it, Jacob didn't get a chance to receive it. It went to Esau anyway, all the money, all the double portion of the money, actually all of it, because Jacob had to leave. But that spiritual blessing Jacob got. So we need to understand sometimes we want something that we know is spiritual. Maybe it's a husband. Getting a husband is a spiritual thing because God brings husbands to wives. And getting a wife is a spiritual thing because God will bring you men to your wives. But we try to get it the wrong way. We try to get it in our own strength, friends. And that's something we need to understand. Righteousness, people want righteousness, but the old covenant is righteousness by work. I'll do it my own way. You see, the end does not justify the means. All that ends well is not well. Those are lies that the devil tells. At every step of the way, we must be in Christ. We must do things Christ's way. We must follow the path he has trod for us, even if it be laden with adversity. Let's read on. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. I think it's so significant. He didn't even rebuke Jacob for lying. You see, remember we learned, I think it was yesterday or the day before, everybody in this story violated principle. But everybody in this story was trying to do God's will. Isaac knew that God had already said that Jacob was to get that blessing. But in his own heart, he wanted his firstborn to have it. He wasn't trying to keep the blessing away from anybody, but he just had his own righteousness by works way. So God rebuked him. Rebecca knew that it was for Jacob, but she used righteousness by works to try to get Jacob to do it and was deceptive. Jacob went along with his mother's deception. Esau sold the birthright over a mess of pottage. Everybody was messed up, brothers and sisters, and that's how it is sometimes. And a lot of times in our conflicts with one another, I'm not trying to say that there aren't times where somebody is innocent, because there is often times. But let's always make sure we look internally. If your marriage failed, it's not always your spouse's fault completely. Look at what you did to say, okay, how could I have done some things differently? And when God shows you that, repent. That's all it takes. And do what you can to rectify whatever the circumstances and situation you're in. That's how we are godly, my brothers and sisters. That's how God's people are to work for him. But there are times when, like with Jacob and, I'm sorry, with David and Saul, David was not guilty of the persecution of Saul. And Daniel was not guilty of doing anything wrong when he was thrown into the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys weren't guilty of anything when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And God's true people will be faithful in the end and will not be guilty of those things. Now, that's why we have to be in Christ, because sometimes we can do things and say things that God has not led us to do and say, and so we need to be wise and careful. Jacob was not rebuked. Isaac realized that he had gone against the will of God, and he ended up doing what God had said, that Jacob was to be the one. So he said, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, my mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother." You know, that's so important, brothers and sisters, that we have, we are led by the Spirit of God when it comes to marriage. That's very important. "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he should bless him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take thee a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Okay? Let me repeat that quote. I mean, that verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take thee a wife of the daughters of Canaan," that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. You know, Esau is having some challenges, some rebellion. You know, he's not converted, and so he doesn't want to do exactly what his parents want him to do, but he wants to, you know, the daughters of Canaan. And I don't remember, we read it, I think it was Esau that had already gotten a wife of the daughters of Canaan, but it was one of them in the lineage. It wasn't Abraham, obviously, it wasn't Isaac, and Isaac was the only son. Oh, maybe, unless it was Ishmael that had gone and taken the daughters of Canaan to be his wife. That might be who it was. But anyway, the bottom line is this is not exactly who they wanted him to marry, Esau, that is. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran." And look at verse 11. "He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." So I want you to get the physical position that Jacob is in. He's on the ground laying down. The stones are his pillow. So he's laying on the ground. This is very important as you understand Jacob's ladder. "And he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth." That means the bottom of the ladder was near him or on his level. "And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." So he's laying on the ground. He sees a ladder coming down to his level and angels of God ascending and descending on it. Watch the position of everything. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." So the position of God is above the ladder. Now I want you to just use your sanctified imagination. You're laying on the ground. A ladder comes down to your level. You see angels ascending and descending on it. And above it is God. That sends you a message that God is the one sending and receiving these angels. That shows him in the highest authority. That shows that he's the monarch of the universe. angels excel in strength. God was revealing to Joseph, type, to Jacob, he can do anything but fail. Okay? So God is trying to show him that he's able. You know that song we sung when we were children? He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And he goes on, he healed the brokenhearted and set the captives free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able. You see, brothers and sisters, if we don't believe that God is able, and I'm sorry, I had the phone kind of turned around backwards. I hope you all are still able to hear me. But anyway, we've got to believe that he's able to help us. You see, when you go to Hebrews 11:6, it says that him that believed, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, it says something else, that we must believe he's a rewarder. But it starts by saying must believe that he is. You see, that word he is a third person phrase that comes from I am. I am Shalom. You are Johnny, Jimmy, Sarah, Mary, but she or he is Derek, Johnson, well, whoever. You see what I'm saying? So he is the third person of I am. Where do we hear I am? Well, you go back to Exodus chapter 3, I believe it is, and when Moses was talking to God and God was telling him his responsibility to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses said, Lord, who am I to tell them you are when they ask, who are you? And he just answered and said, you just tell them I am have sent you. Now, that doesn't make any sense. If I walked up to you, brothers and sisters, and I didn't know you, and I introduced myself and said, hello, how are you? What's your name? And you said, my name is Susie or Johnny or whatever. Then I said, oh, that's nice. I am. Wouldn't you think I was a little cuckoo if I just said I am and just smiled at you? You see, I am is an incomplete phrase. But when you add anything to I am, it is a limiting phrase. As soon as I say I am Shalom, I can't be Mary, okay? As soon as I say I am Shalom, I can't be Joseph, right? So what God was trying to do with the children of Israel, they were a people who had forgotten about God. They had not understood who he was. They had been in Egypt for 400 years, and he had to introduce them. They were about to go through a desert with snakes and large people, giants, and no water and no food that they could see. And they needed to first understand part one of faith is you've got to believe that God can help, that he's able to help, you see. And so that's what we face today. Friends, we're in a pickle sometimes. We have to believe that God is able to keep me out of jail. He's able to give me the funds I need. He's able to heal me of these diseases. He's able to save my marriage. If you don't believe he can, it's not important to go to the next step, which we'll talk about on another day. So this is dealing with the power of God. Jacob needed to understand that as Esau would be hunting him at some future point and he was going into the great unknown, he needed a God that was able to help him. And that's what Jacob's ladder is all about, my friends. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and to thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So interesting, he was there by himself. God was with him, and he called that God's house. That's interesting, friends, because a lot of people think you're not in God's house unless you're in a building owned by an organization, whatever your belief system is. You know, if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Adventist, not truly God's church. Now, God had organization, brothers and sisters, but it was designed to help the people move toward truth. The truth was always what made you the church, always. And so you see in history, the faithful few were rejected by the organization in the Jewish time. The faithful few were rejected by the organization when the Catholic Church took over Christianity in the Christian time. The faithful few were rejected by the Protestants in the Advent time. But somehow we think that it's not that way today. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we don't understand that, we're going to be spiritually dwarfed, because we're going to continue to just feel like we're not legitimate unless we're under the auspices of certain men that may not be telling you what God has said, okay? And so that's why it's important. We need a relationship with God. We just need to be led by him. And the greatest hindrance to spiritual growth is religious leadership that is unconverted, brothers and sisters. A religious leadership that's not following God. All right, so we just want to encourage you, follow Christ wherever you go. I'm not here to tell anybody where to go to church or anything of that nature, but just to say that it's important for you to always follow Christ. And this is an important concept that Jacob understood this, and so he understood that because Christ was there, that was God's church, the house of God. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Let me make sure I read everything. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord God is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, the one that can do anything, if he'll just be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again into my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You notice he said, if God was building his faith and he needed step two, which we'll talk about on another day, but I'll give you a little hint. The Bible says in John 1, verse 51, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter shall ye see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So while God is the entity above the ladder, Jesus is the rungs of the ladder. That's our little hint for another day. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is you've got to believe that God can help you. He is able. He can do anything. And that's why the devil wants us inundated with TV, because we can see the power of the devil, all the crimes that are being committed. We watch all the different shows that show people getting shot up and killed and raped and beat and all this kind of stuff. And we just are dwarfed in our faith, because we don't study enough of the power of God. We need to be studying David and Goliath and, you know, understanding what David meant when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell the house of the Lord forever. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you, my friends. Just know that God is able. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you face, God can do it. He did it for the Hebrews, three Hebrew boys. He did it for Daniel. He did it for David as Saul was hunting him. He did it for David when David had to face Goliath. All of us have a Goliath in our lives that we must face. But we just have to repent of our sins, give our hearts to God, and be real and be sincere. And we just leave our lives in God's hands. He will take care of us, my friends. Yes, he will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll have our torso song, and then we'll come back, and we'll learn that why a little wine really is good for your stomachs. A little wine really is good, just a little now, for your stomach's sake. We'll be talking about that when we come back from our intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Amen. Let me share something with you, brothers and sisters. A lot of people don't know that the words grape juice, as we talk about why a little wine for your stomach is good. A lot of people don't know that the words grape juice, G-R-A-P-E, grape, face, J-U-I-C-E, the words grape juice are not in the Bible. Those words are not in the Bible. Guess what the Bible calls grape juice? The Bible calls grape juice wine. So in the book of Isaiah chapter 65 in verse 8, it says, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. Okay? What is the cluster representing? That's a cluster of grapes. Brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as grape juice in the Bible. It wasn't called grape juice, rather, in the Bible. It was called wine. When it fermented, it didn't change names. So the original substance was grape juice. I'm going to show something to you. Be right back. those on the phone can't see this, but those on Facebook can. I love this brand of grape juice. I'm not giving any money. This is not selling, but Kadeem, you can get it. I get this from Walmart, actually, believe it or not, in my area, but you can find it in other places. I just love this grape juice. And the reason why, we have a remedy that we use since we're on Health Anyway, and it's water purification drops. But when you take high levels of these water purification drops, they kill bacteria, viruses, and things of this nature in your body. It can kind of taste bad if you just taste it with water. But you can't use a juice that's been fortified with vitamin C. If man put extra vitamin C in it, it will deactivate the water purification drops, what that used to be called MMS. Some of you all know about that. Some of you don't. But just contact me if you want more information. But it's a real good antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal type of remedy. It's safe. It basically just pulls the natural chlorine that's in a table salt solution, that's in a solution like table salt, because table salt is sodium chloride. So there's actually chlorine in the salt that you put over your food. It's sea salt, Himalayan salt, all that. It has a little bit of chlorine in it. It's natural chlorine. It's not the industrial chlorine that they put in, you know, water systems and things like that that people are drinking. And so the bottom line, friends, is that that's how I know about this, because it's natural. They sell this a lot to the Jewish people because it's considered kosher. It doesn't have all the additives and things of that nature. But I just mentioned that this would be biblical wine. This bottle of grape juice is wine, brothers and sisters. I could drink this whole thing. Wouldn't be good for me. Too much sugar in there if I drank the whole bottle, but I wouldn't get drunk, okay? Very important, because that's what wine was, friends. Wine was grape juice, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And so, my friends, it's very important that we understand. Now, there are many verses that people use to suggest that it's okay. And one is 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So learning a little bit about physiology answers the question that we would have. Why would God prescribe a little bit of wine, just a little bit, for your stomach's sake? Well, he said it's for your stomach's sake, so obviously Paul was talking to Timothy, and Timothy had a weak stomach. What we know about stomach issues is that the stomach is generally bothered when there's too much acid in the stomach. We get things like acid reflux, GERD, and so on, and then it leads to ulcers and gastritis. It's not too many other things, friends, that deal with your stomach. So he said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Do you know that if you have too much acid, when this grape juice ferments, it becomes acidic? But in its grape juice form, it's alkaline. Guess what? About 6 ounces of grape juice is a natural remedy for an upset stomach. When you have too much acid, skip the next meal. Just sip about 6 ounces of grape juice. It's a natural remedy for an upset stomach. If this ferments, it makes an upset stomach worse. So what I'm saying is, actual wine from the liquor store would make an upset stomach worse, because you're putting more acid on an acidic condition. But that's not what the Bible is saying. It's saying drink a little grape juice, Timothy, for your stomach's sake. Now, nobody with an upset stomach goes to the liquor store and buys a bottle of Mad Dog 2020, okay? Yet, preachers will preach from the pulpit, don't let these people keep you in bondage under the old covenant. The Bible says use a little wine for the stomach's sake. Come on, say amen. And the whole church says amen. And when they get an upset stomach, they go get Pepto-Bismol, which neutralizes acid. They go get Tums, you know, to neutralize the acid. They get Rolaids to go neutralize the acid. They, watch this, get Alka-Seltzer, an alkaline seltzer, to neutralize the acid. So that's the answer to the real dilemma, friends. It was grape juice that they were supposed to be drinking when he said a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Now, one other point I would like to make. In the Old Testament, the Bible uses two Hebrew words for wine. Whenever it was a drink that could cause you to get drunk, the Bible used the word yayin in the Hebrew. Whenever it was grape juice, the Bible used the word tirosh. in the Hebrew. And we just read, we went over this the other day, I just want to reiterate it. We went over where Isaac and Jacob gave Isaac wine, but Jacob was blessed by Isaac to have plenty of corn and wine. That's interesting because what Jacob gave to Isaac was yayin in the Hebrew, but what Isaac blessed Jacob to have a lot of corn with was, and wine, that is, was tirosh. May you have a lot of grape juice. But he tried to distort his father's mind to keep him from understanding who he was by giving him some alcohol to drink. So those two words, that's the only story I'm aware of where the two words are used together. But anytime when you read about Noah getting drunk, it was yayin. Lot getting drunk, it was yayin. When you go to Isaiah 65, where there's a blessing in it, it was tirosh. It from Genesis to Malachi, it is consistent. In the New Testament, however, there's only one Greek word for that which comes from the grape, and it's grape juice. Wine is what they interpreted as in the English. And so you don't have a differentiation between the good wine and the bad wine in the New Testament, okay? That's just a function of language. So there's only one word for that which comes from a grape in the Greek. But in the Hebrew, they had two to differentiate. So the bottom line, friends, is we should not be drinking alcohol. And by the way, Jesus did not make water into alcohol. He made water into grape juice. How do we know? If you go and read carefully John chapter 2, the governor of the feast, when they had a lot to drink, he says, the Bible says, he tasted the water that had been made wine, and he said to the bridegroom, after the people had had a lot to drink, he said, wow, most people bring out the best first, but you, after people have had a lot to drink, you save the best for last. If people have been drinking a lot, you couldn't even taste the fine, sensible, you know, you wouldn't have sensibility. You would not have the ability to taste the difference between a good wine and a bad wine. That's why if you talk to wine tasters, when they taste a little bit, they spit it out. Why? Because it would distort their mind if they didn't, and they wouldn't have the perception to be able to tell the difference between the various wines. So look that up online. Wine tasters spit out the wine. They do not swallow the wine when they're tasting the wine. Okay? So both science and Bible show us that the little wine for the stomach's sake was grape juice. All right, friends, God bless you. May the Lord keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. We are going to do roll call. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. We have, I'm going to say Massachusetts. I think that's where that is, my dear sister. We have Florida. God bless you. And on the call this morning, we have represented Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware again. We have Ohio and Ohio again. We have Iowa and we have Oklahoma and we have Georgia. Sister Maria sends her regards to everybody. As I said before, we will be having church on Zoom. Our Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. We will send out a WhatsApp announcement as well as a Facebook announcement. And if you want to get it any other way, just reach out to me. If you need it via text message, I can send it that way to you as well. May God bless and keep you. We're opening the phone lines. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, please press *6 at this time. Press *6, please, and we'll be happy to speak with you. We've got about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. All right. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for the communion that we can have with you. We ask that your name will be glorified in our lives. We pray that you will help us to grow, to get closer to you, and to bathe in your love and your wisdom and your correction. We ask that you would be with us, that your name will truly be honored by our steps today. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you. We'd love to have you join us at 12 on Zoom. Be with God, be with you. It's time for our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.